So this 15th chapter, Krishna describes the world as an upside down tree. The Lord is above and we have all originated. So he is the root and we are all branches, we are all leaves. We have all originated from that one infinite reality and the root is above. And then we, as we go through this life, we get bound by our vasanas, by our attachments, our actions. And we get caught in the world and we don't have time for our spiritual growth. So Krishna says, with the strong acts of detachment, detach yourself from this world and hold on to the higher. Hold on to that higher and turn your direction, turn the attention of your mind upward. Once you go there, there will be no return. You will be one with him. Make that your goal. But you need some prerequisites, just as to do a master's, you need a bachelor's. So same way here, the prerequisites are. This fifth verse, everybody should memorize. And it's for each one of us to look at. That do I have pride? Do I have ignorance? Do I have attachment? Am I always centered in the self? Have I reduced my desires? And have I gone beyond the pair of opposites, likes and dislikes, joy and sorrow, heat and cold? So this fifth verse is necessary for each and every one of us, not only to memorize, but to apply in our life and check mark. Okay, from I am becoming less angry, I am becoming less attached, I am becoming less dependent on the world for my joy, I am thinking more about the Lord, about the self. So each day, each week, each month, you have to kind of make, maybe put a check mark on your fridge. These are the qualities I need to have. Nirmana, moha, jitta, sangha, dosha. And then apply them in your life. Then only you will progress. Otherwise, people come and say, you know, I have been meditating for so long. I have been coming to the Gita class. I have been going to the temple. But I don't see any benefits, Gurudev says, because you don't have these six qualities. And the seventh is ignorance. So unless you remove those, you will not progress spiritually. And then Sri Krishna tells us about his world, Paramdham, where this sun and the moon cannot reach because it is the light of illumination which illumines this sun and moon. And then he talks about the individual, the jiva, which we had studied last time, how this individual, this subtle body, the mind and intellect, occupying one body, accumulates vasanas, accumulates desires, and then when it leaves the body and goes to higher worlds or lower worlds, heaven or hell, and then it takes a new body, it carries the vasanas, the gandh, vayur gandha nivashaya, the strength of the vasanas are carried by the subtle body, and that's how the rebirth takes place. And then in a new body, again it starts enjoying the, you know, the world, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and then the cycle of life goes on. So today we shall talk about the eye of wisdom. So today we'll talk about the eye of wisdom. What is the difference between a person who is wise and who is otherwise? And then about how we can develop, because there are two kinds of people, those who are unrefined and those who are ignorant. That is in verse number 11. So these two concepts we shall cover today. The first one, the eye of wisdom, is very important, and that's I'll spend most of the time talking about that. So verse number 10. Utkramantam sthitam vapi.
Utkramantam sthitam vapi.
Unjanam vagunanvitam.
Unjanam vagunanvitam.
Vimudhananupashyanti.
Vimudhananupashyanti.
Pashyanti jnana chakshushah.
Pashyanti jnana chakshushah.
So Krishna says, I am constant. I means the self, the Lord is constant where? Utkramantam. Utkramantam means leaving. So when the subtle body leaves the gross body, goes to other worlds, and then it occupies another body. In that movement of the subtle body, I am there. The life has to be there. Consciousness has to be there, even for the subtle body to travel into other worlds. Utkramantam or sthitam vapi. And even While the subtle body is occupying this gross body and functioning in the world, and bhunjanam va gunanvitam, and bhunjanam means enjoying all the gunas, the sattva, rajas and tamas, I am there in you. Whether you are doing a sattvic activity like sitting in a Gita class, or a rajasic activity like working and, you know, digging a hole or doing something, or a tamasic activity, even when you are murdering somebody, even the knife that you are wielding or a gun you are taking to shoot anybody, I am there. I am giving you the power to do that. So whether you are doing sattvic, rajasic or tamasic, I, the self, the power is constantly there. And I do not distinguish, okay, this is a good person and this is a bad person. I give life equally to all, then it is your choice. And then based on your karmas, you will suffer the consequences. Just as sunlight doesn't say, I'm only going to shine on the good people, you know, the wicked people, I don't want to give them sun. Because no, the sun says, I give my light equally to all, and the energy you obtain from me, then it's up to you how you use it, whether you become an evil person or a good person. So he says, I am constant in all three states, leaving, station, or enjoying the gunas. But the problem is, vimudha na anupashyati. Mudha means fool. Vimudha, I think, describes us, is those who have a PhD in foolishness. Vimudha. Because, you know, why? Because I am constantly with you. Na anupashyanti. And they don't see. They say, where is God? Have you seen God? Have you seen God? Do you know God? They will go to a guru and say, have you seen God? If you have seen God, only then... That is vimudha, that is foolishness. You are talking because I am present. You are speaking because I am present. You are walking because I am with you. I am the closest to your heart. You are hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, seeing. And then you don't say, you say, I don't see where is God. I don't know God. He said, that is vimudha. That is, you are a foolish person. Not only foolish, you are a vimudha. You are visheshena mudha. You are a PhD in foolishness. If you don't see God, because he says, God says, without me, you are nothing. Without me, you are zero. You can't even function. All you are good for is manure to be fed to worms. That's all good you're good for. If I am not functioning through you, you'll be lying here flat and somebody will bury you or cremate you and then disperse the ashes so the worms can enjoy. That's all you are good for. So I am there constantly in you, but who sees it? Pashyanti jnana chakshusha. Jnana chakshu means the eye of wisdom. So a person who has this eye of wisdom, he can only see. And Gurudev in his commentary says, it's like a beautiful music note is playing. Now you and I, you'll just say, okay, it's nice. But a true musician will know, okay, they're playing this raga. And then the flute is there, and then he can hear the sound of the sarangi. And all. For you and me, it's just noise. You know, it's just okay, acha music. I am enjoying it. But a true musician can see it, or a jeweler. You know, you and I, if we see a piece of jewel, maybe some of you know it more. But for me, it's a stone. Whether it's real or I cannot tell. You know, what is that other one? Real gold or real diamond or that? What's that? Zirconium. I have no idea, but a jeweler can tell. Yeah. This is, you know, this is this many carats. This is the brilliance, you know, UV and UW and all those, you know, numbers they have. So they know that. So similarly, you and I, when we see the world, all we see is the world. We don't see anything. But a wise person sees the, because he has the wise eye of wisdom, he or she, they can see the Lord everywhere. And that's why Lord Shiva is said to have a third eye. And that is symbolic. That means that he has the eye of wisdom. And all, I mean, that means God does, because he or she knows what is the truth. Whether it's Mother Saraswati or Lakshmi or Shiva, or they all have this third eye of wisdom. But you and I, we don't. And then it is said very beautifully, very symbolically, that when Shiva opens his third eye, the whole world bhasam ho jata hai. The whole world gets burned. So, you know, that's what they say at the time of the pralaya, at the time of destruction of the universe. Lord Shiva opens his third eye and the whole universe gets burned. Then the life starts all over again. So what is the symbolism of that? What is the meaning of the opening of the third eye of Lord Shiva? What it means is that when a wise person opens his third eye of wisdom when he gets this knowledge from the guru, from the scriptures, from his own meditation, then the world gets burnt for him. The world gets dissolved. What do we mean by the world gets dissolved? That his ego gets burnt. And the reality I give to this world, because I have this ego, this sense of I and my, and I am this body, and I own this and I don't. But once your ego is dissolved, then you don't see the separateness. Then you become one with all. Then you are. And the second thing happens is that for that individual, what do we mean by the world gets burnt? One is his ego gets burnt. Secondly, for him, the world loses its reality. For him, the world is no longer real. You say, well, what? Then that's not a good state. The world is not real. But for a wise person, there are three types of wise people who have realized the truth. And how do they see the world? So there are three very beautiful technical words, which I'll explain. Paramarthika Satta, Pratibhasika Satta, and Vyavaharika Satta. So what happens is when a person realizes and he becomes one with the truth, the one kind of people, they are not that anyone is inferior or superior. There's just three different ways of looking at the world. What is their connection to the world? What is their view of the world? So they say one of them is Paramarthika Satta, where that person says there is no creation at all, Ajatvad. That was like Gaudapadaji, who was Shankaracharya's guru. He said, the world is Paramarthika Satta. What does it mean? That God alone is there everywhere. There is no world. Everything is God. There never was a creation. There never is and never will be. Everything is God appearing in different name and form. I don't see any creation. For him, there is no creation. Actually, as we had studied a few months back or a few weeks back, truly there is no creation. I mean, you can go back and read that, listen to that. In fact, there is no creation. This world is just an appearance. But for him, they said, not even an appearance. God alone is there. Then there are others who say, no. This world is there, but it is an illusion. It is an appearance. Pratibhasika Satta, like a rope on a snake. Just as when you're going on a dark road and you see a rope and then you project a snake upon it, not seeing the rope as a rope. So similarly, you and I, ignorant people, we don't see the Lord everywhere, so we project the differences. Okay, this is a tree, this is an animal, this is my friend, this is my enemy, this belongs to my religion, this doesn't, my nationality. So, but a wise person says, yeah, this all is just a projection. The Lord alone is there, but because of ignorance of the mind, the world is being projected. And so he still knows that there is no creation, it's just a projection. Then what is Vyavaharika Satta? Vyavaharika means dealing with people. Vyavahar means to deal with people. So people like Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda or Shankaracharya. Now these great masters saw all three. They knew that the world is non-existent. It's just an illusion. But they said, as long as we have this body, mind and intellect, we have to deal with people. You can't avoid dealing with people. And so they decided that they're going to go out and preach. They're going to go out and teach. So they became teachers. They travel all over. Shankaracharya ji traveled the length and breadth of India, even in those, in the 7th century when there was no transportation. He traveled within his short life, all the four corners of India, established centers of excellence where this Vedantic knowledge could be propagated. And there he appointed four Shankaracharyas, which today, till today, they are there and they are great scholars and very wise people. And actually, Swamiji has taken us on our trips. And we have met, I think, three out of the four Shankaracharyas when we have gone with Swamiji. And then, of course, Gurudev not only limited himself to India, but traveled all over the world, establishing, you know, Chinmaya Mission centers where, and then now more and more centers are coming up. In fact, last year, 9 new centers came up that Guruji inaugurated. Or expanded, centers which were smaller were expanded. So all over the world, these centers are being established because you and I are still caught at our body, mind and intellect level and we need to deal with the world. So you say world has reality, Vyavaharika Satta, but in fact is not real, is just an illusion. And as long as I am dealing with the world, I will deal with it. But inside I know that this is just a game, it is just a play. It is just a natak. I'm just enjoying myself. So take the world as a joke. Don't take it too seriously. Just as when you go to see a movie, of course, some people get so engrossed, they start crying, you know, and the poor heroine is, you know, being persecuted. But a wise person is just a movie, you know, some director, you know, put it together, some writer wrote it, and it's just, there's nothing. It's just a product of somebody's mind, this movie or this serials, you know, people get so involved, you know, which goes on for months and years, and they become part of the family. And every day they have to watch it, you know, that 7 o'clock in the evening or 1 o'clock. And these people take it on for years, and then they bring other things, and people get so engrossed and they get so upset. Why is she so bad? She's not bad. She's just playing a role, you know. And we get so caught up in that. Why does she do that? Why? And then the heroine, why can't you understand what she's doing? You know, they start giving advice to the hero, and you know, and the guys are just playing a role in the TV. But you and I get so caught up, and that's how we get caught in the world. We get so involved. Oh, he's so bad, and he's so good, and why does he do this? They're doing it because it is their nature, their prakriti. The bad have their prakriti, the good have their prakriti. I just have to watch the world, enjoy it. Take the world as a joke. Don't take it too serious. Really, enjoy the life, because this human life is such a rare commodity, such a precious thing. Don't waste it. Enjoy your life. Enjoy, I don't mean that drink, eat and be merry, but enjoy means be happy. Don't be miserable. There's no reason to be miserable. You have this beautiful body, you have this mind and intellect, you have the Lord inside you. Why should you be sorrowful? There is no reason to be sorrowful. Be happy all the time. Enjoy and reach Him. Become one with Him. So that is what they see the world as, this, and that is called the eye of wisdom. And then you don't need to ask, where is God? Because God says, I am with you. I am there. I am, you don't have to look for me. I am you. You are me. I am you. I am not separate from you. So why should you be sorrowful? Why should you be miserable? God is with me constantly. You know, like that story of that young boy who, I don't know if they, you know, we always tell our children, this boy who used to cross the forest. And he used to be very afraid, you know, to cross the forest, because he was the only one on this village who had to cross the forest to go to the other village where his school was. And he used to be very afraid. But he would go because his mother said, you have to go to school. And one day he said, you know, I am so afraid. And then Krishna comes, you know, as a young boy and holds his hand, you know, with his flute and with his mukut and all that. And he holds his hands and takes him, and he's so happy. After that, he's not afraid. And every day Krishna comes and holds his hand and takes him. And then mother says, you know, and he looks forward to going to school because, you know, God is walking with him, is holding his hand. And his mother said, what happened? Now you're enjoying school? He said, oh, I have a friend. He said, who's this friend? He said, oh, I have this friend. He's dark. He has a, you know, mukut on his head. He has more. And then he's carrying a flute. He said, who's that? Come, let me come and see him. Let me come and see. And then all the people of the village, they all go. And then he goes there. And now this time, of course, Krishna doesn't come. He said, Krishna, where are you, my friend? He doesn't know that it is Krishna. He says, where are you? And God doesn't appear. And he starts crying. He says, you know, you come to me every day. And today I have brought my mother and all my friends because nobody believes that I see you. So God says, only people who have, a voice comes from above, only people who are innocent, who have this love for me, I appear to them. The others cannot see me. So that is what, you know, we are so afraid. Why? Because we don't know that God is with us at all times. So, you say, what is the benefit of having this knowledge? Okay, what is the use? You know, I mean, ultimately you have to say, okay, I'm coming to this Gita class. What am I benefiting from it? Why am I wasting my 1.5 hour in the morning? What is the benefit of getting this? Okay, I get the eye of wisdom. Okay, I become wise. Then what? So then we have, actually there are a lot of benefits. These are just a few I could think of. I'm sure you can think of some more. So one is, there is end of sorrow and supreme peace and bliss. Why is there end of sorrow? And why is there supreme peace and bliss? Because all our sorrows come with identification with the body, that I am this body, therefore I am sick. I am this mind, therefore I am upset. I am this intellect, therefore I am confused. As long as I think myself to be this body, I will be suffering, mind and intellect. Talking about sickness, this nephew called his doctor and said, "Oh, doctor, I'm worried about my uncle. You know, he doesn't look very good. He seems sick to me." Doctor said, "Don't worry. I saw him last week. He's fine. There's nothing wrong with him." He said, "No, but doctor, he looks sick." He said, "No, he doesn't look sick. He just thinks he's sick. It's in his mind. I saw him last week. He's fine. He just thinks he's sick. He's not really sick." Okay, the nephew got convinced. All right. Then a week later, doctor was a little concerned about his patient. So he called the nephew. He says, "How's your uncle doing?" He says, "Doctor, he's not doing very well. He thinks he's dead." So poor doctor. So that's what happens to us. When we get attached to the body, we suffer the body's health and ill health, mentally and intellectually. So all the sorrow comes from attachment to the body, mind. And then supreme peace and bliss comes when you say, "I am the self. I am this consciousness. I am occupying this body." We have talked about that many times. Reason to repeat is because we have to bring it into our life. You have to act like that. You have to bring it into your life. And then this person attains immortality. He goes beyond death. Again, we have talked about that before. Because when I am the self, I am Bhagwan, I am the consciousness. Bhagwan does not mean I created the world. It does not mean that. But this Lord is in me, and that is my true nature. I am of the nature of bliss. So then I can never die. My body will perish. My mind will, you know, intellect will go and occupy a new body. It's okay. So what? But I don't die. So such a person attains immortality, goes beyond death. That's why they say, asato ma sat gamaya, tamaso ma jyotir gamaya, mrityor ma amritam gamaya. Oh, from untruth may I reach truth. From unreal may I reach real. From ignorance may I reach knowledge. From darkness may I reach light. And from mortality may I reach immortality. So what is the goal of spirituality? Take us from the unreal to the real, from the temporary to the permanent, from darkness to light, that is knowledge to, darkness to knowledge. And third is from mortality to immortality. So that is the prayer of the seeker. And then, as we said, such a person instantly sees oneness. Because when I am the self, you are the self, we are all that one self. It's not that myself or my spirit or my consciousness is different from hers or his or his. There is one consciousness, one God, one Atma, one Paramatma, one alone, Advaita. That is the benefit of Advaita. Because in Dvaita, we always think I am here and then God is somewhere else. You know, God is not with me. But in Advaita, instant oneness, instant comes because you see that oneness. And that's why these Mahatmas could do that. But for you and me, it is more difficult. So instantly, such a person sees the oneness. And then, as we said, he has no identification with the body. He can drop his body at any moment. That's why such a person, you may persecute him, you may crucify him, you may do anything, but they are not affected, you know, because they say that I am not this body. You know, the body you can burn, you can perish, you can kill, you can do anything. And that's why Mirabai could, you know, peacefully drink the poison, because he said, I am one with Krishna. This poison cannot touch me because I have become one with him. So that oneness with the self, with the Lord, and then ultimately the person realizes that Lord is within me. And I am of the nature of Sat, Chit, and Anand. Sat means permanent existence. I always exist. Chit means knowledge. And Anand means bliss. What is the proof that I am Sat, Chit, Anand? Actually, on Thursday, we are doing the Thursday class. We had covered that a few weeks back. In the fifth verse of this book called Dhyan Swarupam, Guruji Swami Tejomayananda has very beautifully explained this, that I am Sat, Chit, Anand. How do you say that I am Satchitanand? I think myself to be this miserable creature called Anil or, you know, Diana, that is my name, and I'm suffering. And why do I, how do I say I am Satchitanand? Because they say that what is your true nature never becomes a burden to you. Never becomes a burden. Like the nature of fire is to burn. Now, can fire burn itself? No, fire can burn everything else. But what I am never becomes a burden to me, never becomes a problem. And also, what is my nature? I always want to go back to that. Like the nature of fire, of water is coolness, right? Water is always cool. But like you warm up this water, you microwave it, you leave it in the cup, in a few minutes, it goes back to its original state. So what is my original state never becomes a burden to me, and I always want to go back to that, and without that I do not exist. So that is my original nature, right? That which I do not exist, that which I always go back to, does not become a burden. Like the head I'm carrying on my neck, right? This head weighs, I don't know, 5, 7, 8 pounds. Never becomes a burden. You don't say, I'm so tired of carrying this head, let me put it down on the side somewhere. No, I keep carrying it. But if I put a hat on my head after, you know, only a few ounces, after a while you say, such a bother, you know, it's so heavy, it's becoming a hassle. So some people, I'm surprised, you know, this baseball cap, they even sleep with that, you know, day and night they wear it. I don't know how that doesn't become a burden. But anything that is not me, that I put on me, after a while becomes a burden. And not only that, but I always want to go back, just as water always wants to go back. Or like water, if you freeze it and make it into ice and leave it there, after a while it will go back to its liquid state. So the liquid state is its essential nature. So why is my essential nature Sat? Why? Because I always want to live. Even because I am always existing. I am existence. I am permanent. And even if we are dying, even if you are sick, you'll say, this doctor said nothing can be done, doesn't matter, I'll go to another doctor. I was telling this example. I had this patient who had cancer all over his body. And we had told, somebody had told him in Bakersfield. So from Bakersfield, he said, I need a second opinion. He goes to Scripps Clinic in San Diego. Then they tell him the same. He goes to Houston, to that MD Anderson. Then he goes to Mayo Clinic. Then he came back. And finally, he came back to me to put a stent because he was jaundiced. And I said, why are you wasting your time and money running around from one city to another and one? Just go to the beach and enjoy your life because you have not much time left instead of wasting it in hospitals. No, but he wants to live forever because that is his nature, Sat. He always wants to. And Chit, knowledge, is also our essential nature because we always want to know. And two people are talking, oh, what are you talking about? You know? Or especially if it's some gossip, then we definitely want to know. Not only that, but we remember it fully. So we always want to know. That's why we have the internet and we have TV and we're reading books and reading newspapers all the time to learn more and more. I want to learn new languages. I want to learn new, you know, suddenly at age 70, people will say, I want to learn music or learn dance, or a lawyer will give up law and at the age of 50, take up medicine. Why? Because my nature is knowledge. I wish to know constantly. And the third is, my nature is bliss. I always want to be happy. You ask somebody, do you want to be happy or unhappy? What is he going to say? Unhappy? No. Okay, do you want to be happy for 1 year and then we will make you unhappy? Are you okay with that? No. I want to be happy forever. If somebody says, okay, I'll give you something that will give you great joy for 1 year, but after that you'll be miserable. I don't want it. I want something that will give me permanent joy. So what I want and which never becomes a burden, people don't say, I am tired of happiness. I wish the happiness would go away. Nobody says that. People say, I'm tired of sorrow. You know, I'm so tired. Why is God giving me all these sorrows? Out of all the people in the world, the newest sorrow that he manufactures, he sends a packet specially for me, express delivery. looks like he has something, you know, in his mind, because FedEx it comes, new, whatever new sorrow he has thought of, first thing he will do is find me wherever I am, even if I move from India to America. He doesn't send any sorrows, it's your own karmas. But the problem is that, say, I'm tired of sorrow. I wish there was joy, but nobody says I am tired of joy. So that which is your essential nature, you always want to be. It never becomes a burden. And you always, if you had the choice, you would always go back to that. You would always want to live permanent, be knowing, knowledge, and be happiness. So that is what this wisdom tells you, that you are Sat Chit Anand, you are bliss, you are ever existing, you are all knowing. You are not this miserable creature that you have been conditioned to think of, not only since childhood, but from multiple lifetimes. You and I have been thinking that. So having this knowledge, now function like that. Be a happy person, be blissful, and never lose your desire to learn. You know, learn new things, because that's how you keep your brain active. New things mean things that will benefit you. Maybe say, I'm going to learn Sanskrit, or I'm going to learn a new language, or I'm going to start memorizing shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. Start memorizing and start learning, so that how your mind will become filled with that joy, filled with that bliss of this beautiful knowledge, and act like you're going to live forever. Oh, I'm going to live forever. This body, anytime I can drop, because this body is not me. So when there is illness, when there is pain, you can watch the pain. And that is how they say, the pain will be there. If you go through some surgery, you go through some illness, the pain is there. It's happening to the body, but it's not happening to me. I am not the body. I'll take pain medicine, I'll take Tylenol or Advil and all, but remain fine and deal with the pain, but without letting get to you. So that is the benefit of this beautiful knowledge of Eye of Wisdom. So that's what he says, that Krishna says, whether you are walking or talking, whether you are leaving this body or whether you are enjoying or suffering, I am with you constantly. See me through the Eye of Wisdom, and the ignorant people do not see me. So that is the difference between a wise person and an unwise. So use your Eye of Wisdom, use this knowledge, and once you do, you will get all these beautiful benefits. No sorrow, bliss, peace, you'll go beyond death and become that. It's a very, very beautiful verse. There's a lot of, you know, meaning in that. So I'm so thankful that I was able to. And then I use Swami Chinmayananda's commentary, his, you know, oral work commentary, and then some other references from here and there. In fact, he talks about Atmabodh. If you read the commentary in the Atmabodh, it is said very beautifully. Two verses Swamiji quotes. In one verse, it is said that a person who has realized the self instantly sees oneness, because he sees they are all me. And the second verse, very beautifully, it says, talks about the ignorant person and the wise person. He says it's like an ignorant person, like the person who is blind, you know, who is legally really blind. Now, he may be out in the bright sun, resplendent, you know, midday heat, but he cannot see the sun, poor guy, because he doesn't have the eyes. While you and I, we have the eyes, so we can see the sun. So similarly, you and I are like that blind person, even though the self is shining within us and shining everywhere. Everybody, in every one of them, the Lord is. But because of our blindness, we are not able to see. But a wise person who has this eye can see the self, the Lord, everywhere. So this is a very, very beautiful verse. It needs a lot of thinking. So please, when you go home, read Gurudev's commentary. It's in that green book. And he has explained it very well. So please do that. Any questions or comments? Yes. Right. So yeah, the vasanas are there as long as you don't realize you are the self. But once you meditate and once you reach that truth, then automatically your vasanas get burnt. And the next verse we will be talking a little bit more about how to reduce the vasanas. But yeah, the vasanas is an obstacle. It's the ignorance. And that is what makes a person, that's the blindness. Because the vasanas shield the self from us, even though the Om, the Atman, is with us, we don't see it. Because so how you can reduce your vasanas is the whole struggle.
A lot of our decisions.
Yes. But ultimately you're only responsible for your own life. You're not responsible for your husband, your child, your boss, your neighbor, your co-worker. Each one of them has to deal with their own life, with their own vasanas. You have to deal with people like the Vyavaharika Satta. But if you realize that you are the self, then your dealing with the others becomes much better, because then you are not affected that much. See, the problem comes when somebody is angry with you and then you get angry back and then you react and you fight. But if you are of the nature of peace and bliss, then you won't react. And then automatically your conflicts will lessen. And if the person wants to fight, you say, okay, you go ahead, but I am not. Also, you will be less affected by other people's vasanas, other people's disturbances, because you will be that. So Gurudev gives the example of the lighthouse. You know, the lighthouse, the ocean is constantly hitting it, but the lighthouse, because it's firmly established in that stone, no matter how many waves come, it cannot affect it, but he becomes a source of guidance for the ships. You know, the lighthouse brings. But a log of wood gets tossed by the waves up and down, up and down. So as long as I am the log of wood, I am functioning through my vasanas of joy and sorrow, then I will be affected. But if I am like the lighthouse, I am firmly anchored in this knowledge that I am Sat Chit Anand. When I am firmly anchored, then no matter how many waves come, they won't affect me. So they say, be like the lighthouse. Don't be like the log of wood, that every passing, anybody can make me happy, anybody can make me unhappy. Somebody smiles at me, I become happy. Somebody doesn't smile, I become miserable. Then you are putting the key of your happiness in his pocket. So that is. And we'll talk a little more about vasanas, how to reduce in the next verse.